God, you're so good. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. I have a question for you this morning. Has God been good to you? Have you told him how much you appreciate it? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we just take it for granted what God does for us. But I think we need to take the time to appreciate what he's done. I'm going to ask you another question. How many of you have been blessed in 2019? Raise your hand. How many expect to be blessed in the following year of 2020? You know, sometimes we don't get a blessing because we're so full of what's going on in our life. We don't even understand how to get it. I've always said, you know what this means when you hold your hands up? It means you surrender, right? But how many knows we're a vessel? And I always say, when you hold your hands up, it's more, you can catch more of what God wants. God can pour out more. And sometimes we're so full, we have to empty of this world and just let this whole world thing go away for a little while. And just let God come in. Let's do that for just a minute. Let's just raise our hands and open our vessel. Just open ourselves up for what God wants to do today. I mean, God wants to do something in your life today. He wants to touch you each and every day. But we have to allow him to. And today we're going to allow him to. Let's begin to praise him. Let's just begin to praise him right now. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you so much for all that you've done, oh, Lord, and all that you will do. Lord, we just praise you today. We accept your blessings upon our life. Lord, we open ourselves up right now for you to pour in whatever you need to pour in today, oh, Lord. We empty out ourselves and leave ourselves empty so that you can fill us up with your glory and your mercy today. You're worthy to be praised. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Now tell him how much you love him right now. Take just a minute and say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good to just to pour out your heart into him and just turn off everything? God is so good. He is so good. Can we sing that just a couple times? God is so good. Come on, just tell him how much he's good to you.
He is so good.
To Biltmore this morning. Is there anybody here for the very first time? If you are, just raise your hand, please, and we want to welcome you this morning. I know I see some people I haven't seen in a while, and we're glad to have all of you here. We welcome you into the place where God's in control. This is His place, and we welcome Him here today. We welcome Him here today. Amen. We're going to go ahead and continue our worship with our giving. So if our ushers will come on forth. I mean, it's good to give to God because He gives to us all the time. Hallelujah. If you have your offering, if you just hold it up, if you don't have one this morning, just raise your hand because God just wants you to recognize. Let's just hold it up and let's give Him praise this morning. Let's give this unto Him for Him to do with what He needs. Father, we come to You this morning. Lord, we want to thank You so much for what You've done in the last year or so. Lord, we know what You're going to do in the following year to come. Lord, we just want to give You thanks and give back into You today a little bit of what You've given to us. Take this gift, Lord. Use it to further Your kingdom. Bless those who give and those who can't give but want to give. Lord, we ask You to just take it to the kingdom service in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Something exciting going on today. We get to hear from someone that none of us have got a chance to hear, but I'm looking forward to hear what God's got to say through him. And I want you to give a warm welcome for our youth and children's pastor, Pastor Taylor. Come on up.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to thank Pastor Dale for giving me the opportunity to preach this morning. Hope they're having a great trip, safe trip. So we are going to read Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. So if you guys would stand with me as we read the Word of God. And it says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thank you for the word of God. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. God, I ask that you open our ears, open our eyes so that we can hear what you want us to hear, so that we can see what you want us to see. Move in this place today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. And so I'm sure some of you have noticed something a little bit different, maybe not, but you might have. We have some wonderful children in here with us this morning. So, yeah, children, yay. And so I'm going to ask the kids to come on this first pew, and we're going to do a quick little lesson with you guys. If you guys would like to come forward to hear, I'm going to step down. Hey, Maggie. Like your boots. It's all girls today. How exciting. I have a little girl. She's pretty great. So, in this verse, it said, we will mount up with wings like eagles. Do you guys know what eagles are? Of course. America's bird. Correct. Why are eagles so special? Why do you think eagles... I'm going to stand up. Why do you think eagles are so special? I didn't hear you. Because they have long wings? Yes, that is true. They do have really long wings. And so I think, so for this verse, what I'm thinking is, there's this thing that birds do. It's called molting. Do y'all know what molting is? No, it's a strange word. So what molting is every so often, a bird will lose feathers. They'll just drop some feathers and grow new feathers. So this is what I'm thinking this verse is telling us. That every so often in our life, we have things that we need to drop off so that we can grow and grow into new things. So I think this is what this verse is telling us, that we can fly like eagles if we molt. If every so often in our life, we drop off the things that are no longer helpful, and we grow into things that God wants us to be. And so I think that's what this verse is telling us, that if we want to fly like eagles every so often, we have to drop the old things and pick up God's things. So that's what I have for you guys today. So now you can be dismissed with Miss Amy, and you'll go back to kids' church and play with Miss Debbie. Thank you. Let's give the kids a hand. And so, like was previously said, I usually preach to teens and to children. And they only give me like 20 minutes. Maybe 15 is usually more accurate. But since you guys are older and more mature, I figure I got at least an hour, right? Yeah? Yeah, I don't have an hour. I was just kidding. So our scripture today comes from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. And I'm a history buff, so I have some history and some context for you guys here today. And it says, the book of Isaiah derives from the author, whose name means the Lord is salvation. And it is similar to the names of Joshua, Elijah, and a big one, Jesus. All these names mean the same thing, that the Lord is salvation. Isaiah is quoted directly in the New Testament over 65 times, far more than any other Old Testament prophet, and he is mentioned by name 20 times. Isaiah is the son of Amos, ministered in and around Jerusalem as a prophet to Judah during the reigns of four kings. He evidently came from some rank, and we can assume this because he had direct access to the king. And this wasn't typical for people, everyday people, to have access to the king, but Isaiah did. When Isaiah was called by God to prophesy in the year of the king of Uzziah's death, in about 739 BC, he responded with a cheerful readiness, though he knew from the beginning that his ministry would be one of fruitless warning and exhortation. During the period of the divided kingdoms is when Isaiah was the prophet. He was directing the major thrust of his message towards the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. He condemned the empty ritualism of his day and the idolatry into which so many of the people had fallen. He foresaw the coming Babylonian captivity of Judah because of this departure from the Lord. The portion of the book that our scripture comes from, it comes from the beginning of the story of salvation in the book of Isaiah. So there's all kinds of different parts in the book of Isaiah that can be broken up and outlined. But starting in chapter 40 is where we read, it's the story of salvation. The Judean people have experienced captivity, and they're going to experience it for a little bit longer, but there will come a day. There will come a day of salvation. Salvation will be at hand. And this is what Isaiah is speaking to in our scripture today. So, like I said, Isaiah is speaking to the country of Judah. But before Judah was its own country, before they split, Judah was a tribe. Judah was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And just for you who care, the other 12 tribes are Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Ephraim, and Manasseh, just in case you care. So, my question was, what is a tribe? What is this tribe that Judah was? Well, Google says, a tribe is a social division in a traditional society or a historical society consisting of families or communities linked by social, economic, religious, or blood ties, with a common culture and dialect, typically having a recognized leader. So in our verse, Isaiah is speaking to the tribe of Judah. He's speaking to a group of people. He's not speaking to an individual person. This shows us that we're meant to be in community, that we're created to be in and live in community. Some of us may like to say we're lone wolves. Some of us may like to say we like to do things on our own. Some of us are introverts. I'm an introvert. Some of us are energized by being alone. But I feel like oftentimes we take that introvertedness nature within us and choose to just be by ourselves and not step back into community. Even the biggest introvert needs other people. After we are recharged, we need others. And I would argue that Scripture tells us to be true as well. If we look at Scripture, all the great people that I could see had other people around them. A couple came to mind. We had Paul. Paul had people around him. Jesus had the disciples around him. Joshua. Joshua had Caleb around him. So if we look at Scripture, many of the great leaders had people around them. So it's my desire for each and every one of you today to find your people, to find your community. When Christ sent forth his disciples, he didn't just send them on their own. He said, go forth in two or three. He knew that we needed community. We needed each other. We don't have to have a whole squad. We don't have to have 20 people behind us. But we do need two or three people around us, people to lift us up when we're tired, a group of people that can encourage you when you're down, that can even tell you when you mess up. That's very important. So we can oftentimes go through life thinking that we're doing things right if we don't have people around us. Sometimes our wife to tell us that we're doing it wrong. I never knew that the dishwasher had a particular way it had to be loaded. Apparently it does. Can't just throw things in there. It's Tetris every time I load the dishwasher. So the next theme that I see in the scripture is this overwhelming feeling of hope. When I read the scripture, I feel hopeful. I can't help but become more hopeful every time I read it. And something that goes without saying is that each and every one of us will grow tired at some point. Many of us are sitting here today exhausted. We love Christmas. We love spending time with our family. And we're tired. They take things from us. They take our energy. They take our... Hopefully they don't take your joy. Hopefully they add to your joy. But some families may take your joy. But if you're sitting here tired today, that's what the scripture is about. If you're tired and you're weary, the scripture doesn't say if it will happen. It says it will happen. And it emphasizes this by saying even youth get tired. Some youth are tired today. So you will feel like you're at the end of your rope at some point in your life. You will feel like you have nothing left to give. And so this scripture is to give you hope. When I think of hope, I think of a story. The day is June 28th, 2018. This is my first week as a hospital chaplain. This is what I did before I stepped into this ministry. But on June 8th, 2018, it is my first week as a chaplain, and this night I'm going to go on call. What that means is I'm going to be the only chaplain in the hospital. So every trauma, every death, every person who wants to see a chaplain, they're going to call me, and I'm going to go talk to them. I'm going to go provide some type of spiritual care. Well, needless to say, I am terrified. I am so scared to be the only person in the hospital providing spiritual care. I feel unqualified, and I certainly do not feel ready for what is to come. But before my leader sent me on my own, they gave me a person named Jackie. Jackie was a seasoned chaplain. She had been through many on-calls. She knew what to expect. She knew how to handle this on-call. So Jackie walked me through the ropes. She taught me, showed me what I should do, what I should say, what I shouldn't say. But unfortunately, by the time it was time for Jackie to leave, I had not gone on any traumas. So I didn't know what a trauma would look like. So around 8 o'clock, Jackie said, well, I don't want to stay all night, so I'm going to go home. Okay, Jackie, have a good night. So I go to the on-call room, which is the room that they have for us chaplains to sleep if we can. So I lay down, breathe, fully clothed, because I know I'm going to get a call soon. And the pager goes off. A 911 pent GSW, female pent, but that doesn't really matter. A GSW is a gunshot wound. So my first call as a chaplain was a gunshot wound. I go to the call, handle that, take care of that. I come back to the room, and 11 traumas later, and roughly 2 hours of broken sleep later, I head back to the on-call room around 7 a.m. I'm exhausted, I'm drained, but I'm also proud that I survived the night, that I made it through all of this work, all of this giving of myself. I lay down, I take a breath, I sit up and pack my things, and I begin to get ready to chart for the next morning. And then I hear this other sound. It's the sound of the on-call pager, which is a different pager than the trauma pager, which it had not gone off all night. So I was very confused what the sound was, but I look at it, I call the number, and I hear the worst words that I feared. It said, this is the NICU. The NICU was calling. I'd never been to the NICU. I didn't know what to expect from the NICU. So exhausted and terrified, I make my way to the NICU. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what I'm walking into. I don't know how the NICU works, but I do know it's big, and it's scary, and I don't want to be here. I walk into the NICU. I see the nurse. I get the rundown of the situation. There's a 25-week gestation baby girl with severely underdeveloped lungs with a very low chance of living. Chances of survival are low, and the parents are trying to decide what to do. I walk the way that the nurse pointed. I move to the other side of the curtain to meet this family, and we'll call this patient, the little girl, call her Susie, because I can't tell you her real name. But Susie, I meet her for the first time, the first and the final time. I stood, I sat, I squatted, I talked, I cried, I prayed, and I sat in silence. And then I came to the end of my shift, and I left. Another chaplain came, and another chaplain did work. And I cried not because of Susie. I didn't know Susie. I didn't know who Susie was. But I cried because at home I had a 13-week pregnant wife. We were expecting a child. This child that this family was praying over and crying over, I saw myself in their situation. And 2 days later, we found that my wife and I were having a little girl. Just 2 weeks after this encounter. And this visit and this family and this patient left such an impact on my life that Amy suggested, my wife, that we give our daughter the same middle name. So that's where Evelyn's middle name comes from. And for those that don't know, Evelyn's middle name is Hope. Because this family had such hope that God would heal their little girl. And even if God didn't heal their little girl, that God would step into their lives and give them the hope that they needed to make another day. And any time I think of this story, I think of the verse that we read today. Because when I laid on that bed getting little to no sleep, After pouring myself into people's lives throughout the entire night, giving all that I could give, God still had more for me to do. God didn't just push me out of that bed, though. God gave me the strength and the words to say to that family during one of the worst times of their lives. All I had to do is I had to answer the call. I had to answer that page and step into this family's life. And we can have hope in the Lord because God never fails. God doesn't grow tired. God doesn't grow weary. God has the power, the will, to do greater things through us than we can do on our own. We just have to put our faith in Him and not in ourselves. And so one of the last things that I see in this verse is that this scripture implies that we have purpose. Each and every one of us has purpose. And I would argue that it says this by the action words, the action verbs that it uses. It says things like, you will walk, you will fly, you will run. These action words, these are words with intention behind them. We were going somewhere. We had our eyes set on something before we became tired. Before we became weary, we were headed somewhere. And Isaiah isn't talking about a specific person that is sitting on the couch watching TV. He's not talking about people aimlessly walking through their lives or going through their lives not knowing where to go. He's talking about God's people. He's talking to God's people. He knows that they have a purpose because of this. Jeremiah 29:11, we read it in Sunday school this morning. It tells us that God has a purpose for each and every one of us, plans to give us good fortune and good hope for each one of our lives. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This verse tells us that God has a plan for us to run a race. God has a plan that He has set before us before we were even born. And we have an individual purpose. Each and every one of you here today has an individual purpose. But further, we have a collective purpose as the body of Christ. We as the body of Christ have the purpose of seeking and saving the lost, as the Great Commission tells us. But Scripture goes further than this, though. Each one of us has an individual purpose. And I was in a lecture one day, and the lecturer said something that really changed the way I view things. And he said that we can change the world as a whole by each and every one of us taking the call to change the world around us. His call wasn't for us to change the far-off world. His call was for us to change our house, to change our own homes first, then to change our streets, then to change our neighborhoods, and then to change our town, and then to worry about the far-off world. He said that we can do this by assessing our lives, by looking at our lives and taking a minute. And so I'm going to ask that you guys do this today. I've done this with the youth. I did it at Firefall when we were there. But just take a moment and think of something that you enjoy doing. Think of something that you enjoy, something that brings you joy when you do it. Just think of something that you enjoy doing. Take a moment and do that. What is something that I like to do? It can be anything. What do you like to do? Next, you're going to think of something that you're good at doing. And someone may be thinking, well, I'm not good at anything. Well, stop. If that's your first thought, we can pray about that later. Those thoughts are self-deprecating and self-sabotaging. We're all good at something. Each and every one of us are good at something. We all have things that we're gifted at doing. So think about that. What are you good at? What are you good at? So the first question is, what is something that you enjoy? The second one is, what is something that you're good at? And finally, think of how you can combine those first two things, how you can take what you're good at and what you enjoy, and how you can use both of those things to help others. How can you use both of those skills, whether they're different or whether they're the same? You might be good at something that you enjoy. How can you use those to make a difference in your world? How can you use those to make a difference in your world? How can you make the world better by using both of those things? I would argue that the answer to that question is your purpose. I would argue that if you can find those two things and how you can change the world using those two things, you've found your purpose. I would also argue that age is not an issue. It's an excuse. Abraham changed the world in his old age. He was mighty old, and he changed the world. And then when it comes to being young, we have examples like David and Mary. Both were extremely young, but they were willing. And if you're willing, then God is able to do great and mighty things in your life and through your life, no matter your age. No matter your situation, God can do things through you. And so, like I talked with the kids about, this soaring on wings like eagles is very common in Scripture, that when people are tired and when people are weary, Scripture will point them to eagles. And also, like I talked to the kids about, sometimes there's things in our lives that we need to shed off, that we've accumulated over the year or over the years that are no longer helpful to us. These aren't necessarily bad things. These aren't necessarily sins in our life. But they're just, example, you watch too much TV. Example, it's not a terrible thing. You're not going to go to hell for watching TV. But could you do something more productive? Could you do something greater for the kingdom of God? And so something that I didn't mention to the kids that I had in my notes but I forgot about is eagles go through this process once a year. This isn't a once every so often. This is a yearly thing that happens to eagles. But they also, they don't lose all of their feathers at once, because if they did this, they wouldn't be able to fly. And if an eagle can't fly, an eagle can't eat. If an eagle can't eat, then an eagle will die. And so it's very important that this eagle keeps who they truly are close to home. They keep their wing and their tail feathers so that they can fly and hunt. So what does this have to do with us? Well, maybe today you have some stuff that you need to shed off. Maybe there's some things in your life going into the new year. New year, new you, you know? Maybe it's time to start doing things different. And as the band gets ready for the altar, and as the music plays, I pray that you look at your life. That you truly examine it. We're going into a new year, so let's finish this one that we're currently in. Let's finish it off right. We still have a few days left. But most importantly, let's begin the new year on the right foot. And so this is like a three-part altar call. And the first one is, if you lack community, today is the day to change that. If you're not a member of Christ's tribe, if you're not a member of Christ's family, I pray that you come and change that today. I pray that Christ moves on your life and the Spirit tugs on your heart this morning. If you are a member of Christ's tribe, yet you still lack community, I pray that you find a place in the church to be a part of. Whether it's youth, whether it's children, whether it's the food pantry, whether it's music, whether it's men's ministry, whether it's women's ministry, or any of the other ministries we have in this church, I pray that you find community here. We have places for you to connect. We have places where you can find people with like-mindedness for you to connect. The second, if you're finishing this year without any hope today, today is the day to change that. If you're tired, if you're weary, God wants to renew your strength today. God desires for you to soar into the new year with renewed vigor. And lastly, if you're lacking purpose in your life, come ask God to instill in your heart His desires for your life. And if any of these speak to you, come down, if you can, and pray that God will answer your prayers. If you can't come down, you can pray in your seats. So come.